Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. In political rhetoric, there's fact and there's fiction, but how people feel about an issue or a candidate may be more important and weigh much more heavily on their vote.
Even if you did fact check, a lot of people are willing to override the fact that it's a half-truth, a partial truth, that it's AI.
Hear from a media literacy educator on how voters' complicated relationship with the truth is impacting the way campaigns tailor their messaging, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Plans for a roughly $232 million development blocks away from City Park in downtown West are moving forward. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the project by AHM Group got the green light for another bond issue Tuesday.
The Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority Board approved property tax abatements and a total of $171 million in taxable industrial revenue bonds for the project. That's on top of the $60 million in bonds the board approved last year. It goes for the redevelopment of two existing buildings and the new construction of three others, including a 29-story apartment high-rise. Kyle Howerton is a managing principal and partner at AHM Group.
There's a lot of opportunity in downtown West. There's not a lot of other places that you can find, say, an entire city block that's vacant ground that we can redevelop.
Howerton says the project breaks ground next year and will add more than 450 apartments plus thousands of square feet of office and retail space. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
A group of St. Louis University graduate students who work as teaching and research assistants, trainees, and fellows are looking to form a union. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the student workers say the university needs to improve pay and working conditions.
The graduate students filed a petition Monday with the National Labor Relations Board. The unit aims to include about 650 students and join the United Auto Workers. It represents more than 100,000 academic workers across the country. Rebecca Stokum is a graduate research assistant at SLU. She says the grad students often struggle financially, and the university has only recently given them a pay raise.
Having a union provides us with that seat at the table where we are able to speak with SLU and advocate for changes to our contracts and our working conditions.
SLU officials said they will honor the organizing process. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal judge has dismissed a Kansas man's defamation lawsuit against Missouri lawmakers who falsely accused him of being a shooter at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Peggy Lowe has more.
Police briefly detained Denton Loudermill after the parade shooting for not leaving the scene quickly enough. A photograph of Loudermill in handcuffs made its way to social media, where he was falsely accused of the shootings, for which six other young men have since been charged. From there, three Republican Missouri senators helped circulate the misinformation, adding that he was, quote, an illegal alien, which is also false. The federal judge in Kansas dismissed the case, saying the misinformation wasn't targeted at people there. Loudermill's attorney says he will refile. I'm Peggy Lowe.
Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner says she still supports providing aid to Ukraine, even though some of her fellow Republicans have soured on assisting the beleaguered country. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from Wagner's episode of Politically Speaking.
Wagner consistently voted for the United States to provide what she calls lethal aid to Ukraine to repel Russia's invasion. Many House Republicans in particular soured on helping Ukraine, contending the aid was either a waste of money or a misplaced focus. Wagner, a Baldwin Republican, says she would support Ukraine joining NATO once its war with Russia comes to an end.
Yes, I believe one day, hopefully when Ukraine is safe and sovereign and rebuilt once again, they can be a part of our NATO alliance also.
Wagner is running against Democrat Ray Hartman to represent the St. Louis area base 2nd Congressional District. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
And Hartman's Politically Speaking episode will be posted later this week on stlpr.org.
Construction is now underway on the St. Louis Zoo's Destination Discovery, which will feature animal habitats and an education center. As St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports, the $51 million attraction will also have environmentally friendly features and practices.
Construction crews are preparing a 3-acre field at the St. Louis Zoo for the children's attraction. When it opens in 2026, it will recycle stormwater for lakes at the zoo, use solar panels for power, and be filled with native plants. David McGuire is vice president of architecture at the zoo. He says sustainable designs are a big part of the project.
There are some additional costs involved with that, but we really want to do these things and be able to show our guests what we've done and maybe make some suggestions about similar things they can do at home.
McGuire says when finished, the center will have signs that teach visitors how to protect the environment. I'm Arla Kaziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
With the election now less than 2 weeks away, airwaves and social media feeds are flooded with ads for candidates and causes. This cycle, those messages increasingly rely on inflammatory language and loose facts. I spoke about this trend with Professor Natasha Casey, a media literacy educator at Lincoln Land Community College and with the Media Education Lab. I started by asking Casey how her job has changed in this media landscape.
There was a point in time where media literacy, maybe to its detriment, focused almost exclusively on this kind of fact-checking. In recent years, I've started to think a lot more, and media literacy has done this too. The National Association for Media Literacy Education, for example, now has a little component about understanding how emotion works in terms of receiving information. Because when you look at political messages, they're all running on emotion, right? Whether it's the voiceovers, whether it's the music used, whether it's the, you know, the kinds of snippets of conversations or things taken out of context. And for me, this has become a bigger part.
So does that kind of change what baseline truth even is for someone? Because people live in their truth, or maybe what they feel to be real in their life.
Fairly recently, there was a study in this past summer in the American Journal of Sociology. It shows that voters provide moral justification for politician statements, even when they know their preferred politician is lying. And they call this factual flexibility, which is a lovely oxymoronic term. But the same study used this other term called moral flexibility, whereby voters justify fact flouting as an effective way of proclaiming a deeply resonant truth. You know, and that's an interesting idea, isn't it? Even if you did fact check, a lot of people are willing to override the fact that it's a half truth, a partial truth, that it's AI. If you're saying to yourself, you know, this candidate is supporting what I want, ultimately, it's justifiable.
The Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, has something that's called truth in advertising laws. Mm-hmm. These are supposed to prevent companies from making false claims about their products in ads, but those rules don't apply to political ads. The Supreme Court has ruled those as protected political free speech. Do you think people really know what can and can't be said, really?
I think the average person is unlikely to know that broadcast television stations, right, are prohibited from censoring or rejecting political ads that are paid for and sponsored by legally qualified candidates.
Broadcast outlets are required to offer equal coverage, but companies like Meta, X, TikTok, they can make their own decisions on this. Mm-hmm. What impact does that have?
One of the challenges with this is political advertising online is not regulated at all in the same ways. I mean, regulated in sort of inverted commas, quotation marks, really, because the regulations are pretty loose, even in television and radio. But in those online spaces, I think we can't even understand the impact that they're having. They're able to micro-target audiences in a way that television and radio are not. And unfortunately, I think what we see is, you know, those on Capitol Hill, those lawmakers tend to be very slow in reacting to newer kinds of media. The regulations, of course, are difficult, you know, to agree on in a bipartisan way. So everything goes back to the individual.
That was part of my chat with media literacy professor Natasha Casey. You can read more of our conversation and check out some of those studies she was referencing there at stlpr.org. Our Jonathan All edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.